すごい。ハレルヤ。Amen. It's coming. You find me back there? One, two, one, two, one, two. It's on. And there ain't nobody on the planet can meet up to that. That introduction ain't no way. It's only Jesus that can do anything like that. Amen. How's everybody? You can be seated. I am so happy to be with you. To be with the family. Amen. I may have no clue who I am. Have never seen. Is there anybody? There's one. Anybody else? There's a few folks like, who is this guy? I ain't nobody. I served here under the greatest pastor ever for 14 years. Pastor and Pastor Tina, I love you. I love you. I love you. And all of us know, because, you know, most of us that this is home, you know what they mean to Lorraine and to the region, and definitely mentored me. I mean, I was a mess when I came here, and somehow he got me turned around and going in the right direction, and I thank God for our pastor. I just love him. When I got hurt, when I died, he jumped on an airplane, and he and Pastor Tina were there like almost instantly. They just got there. And faith came in the room when they got there. And after 3 days on life support and with no brain activity and no real signs of hope, God miraculously on the fourth day brought me up and just raised me up. I'll tell you a little bit about that. But really, everything that I know about that has been told to me or revealed to me by the Lord. And so I don't really, when it happened to me, I was just running, jogging, died, and woke up going, get these things out of my nose. So I don't remember getting dressed that morning. I don't remember running. I don't remember going to the light. I'm sure I did, though, because I'm sure I did. He just hadn't shown me yet. But, you know, Bobby's uncle, when he was there, I'm on life support in the coma, and they kept telling me, he was going, run from the light. Run from the light. The whole time he was just screaming, run from the light. But I believe at some point the Lord might reveal to me what happened, where I was at, and maybe what he spoke to me at that time. But as of right now, I don't remember anything. I don't even remember falling. But my wife remembers a lot about it. I'm going to ask her to come and just greet you. Everybody knows Bobby, and if you don't, this is my lovely wife, Bobby. And I just want her to share with you, and she can tell you just a little bit about what God's been doing in our lives. And,
don't leave me. Just stay right here.
Don't leave me. I'm going to leave you. I won't leave you, but I'm going to sit.
No, just stay right here. I'm only going to be a second. But one thing, as I was sitting there. And
she said this yesterday. She went for like 25 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
It's really good to be home.
Amen.
And it's always good to be back home. But Pastor Tina, as Troy was introducing Greg and today, I'm sitting there, and I told you yesterday that everything that God had done in my life up to that point on October 13th, that's what I stood on. Everything that I had learned all my life and being raised in church and reading the Word and hearing sermon after sermon after sermon, everything. When I saw him fall, I had to stand on everything I knew and I believed. I had not even since October thought of this, but when he was down on the sidewalk and after the ambulance had been called and he had already been, the AED had already been put on him and he had been revived, but I laid down on that sidewalk and I cried out, Jesus, 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 and that's what I knew to do. And I remember, and you were an example to me, because I remember right out there in that foyer, your mom, we were sitting in a ladies' Bible study, and she had just fell over and went unconscious. And I just remember your example. That's all you did was you cried, you grabbed a hold of her, and you cried out, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, Jesus. And I know there's probably ladies here today that remember that day, but that was my example. And that day, I just laid at Greg's feet and cried out to the name above all names, Jesus. And I just want to let everyone know here today that our faith it's just in that name of Jesus. It's the name above mm-hmm. all names. And we just pray that today, that as Greg's ministering and telling the story, that if nothing else, just know, just call on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I thought for sure she'd go a lot longer than that. Amen. Let me read a poem to you. You know, I'm a real poetic, sympathetic guy, so let me read you a poem. It's kind of a, you know, I have to put some cheaters on here. 48, you know. It's kind of like Footprints in the Sand. Remember the poem, Footprints of the Sand? A real classic, you know. Kind of goes in that format there. One night I had a wonderful dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord. But mine were not on the shore. But when some strange prints appeared, I asked the Lord, "What have we here?" "These prints are large and round and neat. They're way too big to be feet." "My child," he said in somber tones, "for miles I carried you along. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed and would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired and got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because there comes a time in life when one must fight and one must climb. One must rise and take his stand or leave his butt prints in the sand." There is a mandate for the body of Christ to walk in faith. It is not an option. It's not something you can do when you think about it or try to make happen. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to talk to you today about your faith. I want to talk to you today about each and every one of us. There's one thing everybody in this room has in common. Everybody has this in common. Other than the fact we're all going to face eternity. We're all going to die. We have one thing in common. Everybody in this room is either in a dip, about to go through a dip, or just came out of a dip. And I'm going to explain to you what a dip is, but it looks like this. It looks like this. All of a sudden you're going along, and the bottom drops out. And it's on the way down, and it's like, what in the world is going on? Has anybody ever experienced a situation in your life where you felt like, what happened? Why is it not going the way the Bible says it should go? Why is it not going the way I thought it would go? The way I've been confessing that it would go? Why is all of a sudden my life just turned upside down? Can anybody relate? 9 months ago, Bobby and I had been 2 years planting the church, and God was doing so many amazing things, and people were getting saved, people were getting healed, people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and the power of God was just being manifest in every which way possible. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this dip. And it's just like, I don't understand. I'm doing everything you ask me to do. But God began to reveal unto me, and he's been constantly showing me, even yesterday, before we went to the pastor's conference, I sat outside and began to ask God, "God, why? Why me? When you've been raised from the dead, and you begin to see pictures of yourself on life support, and you see pictures of yourself laying there with all these tubes coming out of you, and all of a sudden, in 2 weeks' time, you're up playing golf and looking at yourself going, what in the world was that? Why me?" And I have questions, but even yesterday, God began to show me and reveal unto me, why me? And I'm going to talk to you today about the dip and what that looks like and what it's all about. There is one thing you have to do when you get into a dip is you have to discern what the dip is. You got to discern what's going on. You need a Holy Spirit revelation of what is going on in your life. There are three major kinds of dips that I'm going to talk about today. And the first dip that I'm going to discuss with you is the dip of disobedience. If you have a Bible, I'm going to get you to open the Bible. They're going to put the message up here on the top so you'll be able to see that. You'll be able to see, take some notes and to put this into your spirit. And I just want you to pray with me right now that God would reveal himself to you. And revelation knowledge would come into your mind, into your heart. And change will come as of today. Can you just believe with me for that? Amen. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would open the word in my heart. Father, I pray that you would open the ears of those that are here, the friends and family that are here. And I pray, God, that revelation knowledge would flow freely into their hearts. God, just like turning a light on in a dark room, I pray, God, that darkness would flee and the light would come in and people's lives will be forever changed. Understanding will come, Lord. Understanding. And I pray that would bring people into a new dimension of your love and a new dimension of faith. And God, just speak to every heart in this room right now. And everybody say, the dip.
The dip.
Amen. When you come to faith in Christ, when you get in your relationship with the Lord and the word is being revealed to you, it seems like, I remember the day when I made a fresh commitment to the Lord and I came out of that place and I went to turn my radio on my car and it was set on, back in the day, it was G98. You know, and I flipped on G98 and more than a feeling, you know, and I was just like, man, turn that off. I don't want that in my life right now. I gotta get rid of all my 8-tracks. Y'all don't know nothing about 8-tracks. But I was like, these things gotta go, and I'm smashing them and getting rid of them. I don't have to explain that. Some of you might have to explain to your kids about it when you get home, but I got rid of all that stuff in my life. And something happened. There was an amazing transformation. It was like everywhere that I went, man, everything was just going like boom, it's just happening. Things were like going my way. Everything was just going great. You're going down the road and all the lights turn green and you're just like sailing on through. You know, it's like, man, you get up to the mall and you think, where am I going to park? And the first parking spot pulls out. You're like, man, right up front row, great seats. This is amazing. And it just seems like everything's going your way and things are just working. And it's like, man, this is just like the best feeling. You open the Bible to read and you hear, hallelujah. And you're just reading like, man, that's exactly what I needed. And everybody you talk to wants to get saved. And it's like, man, this is so good. I remember when I got a revelation on tithing and I understood what tithing was all about. And we wrote that first tithe check and put it in there and said, God, we're just believing you for increase. And we get home and checks are coming everywhere. It's like, man, people are giving me money. And I'm like, wow, this is like amazing. It just works. Do you remember those days? It was just like everything seems to just go right. You just feel everything going in the right direction. And then there's this process where the enemy goes, okay, I've let you enjoy all that, but let me just come in like a flood and cause you to doubt and get in doubt and unbelief. And the enemy causes you to go into a great dip. There is a dip of disobedience that I think the body of Christ, for the most part, don't understand. We talk about it all the time. We preach about it all the time. And people just, it's just like they just don't get it. And I want you to understand, if you live in sin, you are about to go into a major dip. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what's your background. You cannot live in sin, go to church on Sunday morning and pray and ask God to give you revival in your heart. There's like this unbelievable, I'm pastoring a church and I just cannot believe the people who will be in church and loving God and everything, and then go out and they're living like the world and everything's going wrong and they're asking me, Pastor, why is it not working for me? God cannot bless sin. Do you understand that? You have to understand. You've got to get this into your spirit. God is calling a righteous, holy church out. He said, come out from amongst them and be ye separate and holy. There is a place of blessing for the body of Christ, but you cannot enter the place of blessing living in rebellion. You can't just keep catering to this thing and act like, well, I'm going to get right sometime. God knows and God understands and God's grace is sufficient for me. I can continue to live with this girl, sleep with her on Saturday night, show up on church on Sunday, and God understands because he knows my heart. Yes, he knows your heart, but he is bound to his word. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. You got to get the sin out of your life. Some dips are created and caused just because of rebellion. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to beat you up here. I'm going to help you to understand. You cannot live in that realm. Discern your dip. If you're in a dip of rebellion, there is hope for you. But you can't continue in it and just babysit it. Come on. You got to get aggressive. We're living in the last days. We're living in a crucial time for the body of Christ and a crucial time for our country. The body of Christ has got to rise up and square up our shoulders, and we got to fight. And we don't fight as others fight. We fight on our knees. We fight through righteousness. Amen? Some people have gotten hurt through all these different situations, and now they're living a life of sin and wanting God to heal their bodies. Come on. Get over it. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Galatians 6, 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Look at what it says. God is not mocked whatsoever. Come on. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's God's law. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to take you to new levels and new dimensions of his love. But if your mouth sounds like a sewer, if when you get mad, if out of you still uprises the fleshly words that used to come out of you before you got saved, and then you wonder why you're not coming out to go on top of the mountain, come on. It's sin. Sin holds people back from the favor of God, from the favor of man. He's desiring to bless you. He's desiring to minister to you. But you've got to get your heart pure before the Lord. Romans 3:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. I mean, we've heard this our whole lives, and I'm not trying to tell you anything you don't know, but somebody got to wake up. You can't continue to look at pornography all night long and wonder why your finances are being cursed. Wonder why you can't make your rent payment and why you're going through all this trouble. And then get in church, oh God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I love you, Lord. Help me, man, we're having all these problems in our lives. And secretly, your eyes are watching things that God has commanded you to get away from. It'll keep you in a dip. It'll keep you in a low place. God doesn't desire to leave you in a low place. If you've entered a low place, you've got to discern your dip. Why am I in this dip? James chapter 4 and verse 7. James 4 and 17. James 4, 7. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. I am so tired of people trying to justify their sin. Well, this isn't that bad. The Bible really doesn't make this real clear. So if I do this, it's not that bad of a thing. If you have to try to get the word to justify your actions, I'm going to tell you right now, if just the very fact that you have to ask, is this wrong? Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Just weed it out of your life and say, you know what? I don't need that. I don't need it if it's questionable in any way. Why? Because people in this world are looking for a real people. They're looking for a real Christian. They're tired of seeing hypocritical people who are doing the wrong things, living the wrong way, and trying to proclaim the name of Christ. Hey, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is not a seeker-friendly church. This church is seeker-sensitive. We are sensitive to your needs, and we want you to be here. But look, we're going to confront the lost. We're going to confront sin. Why? Because we don't want God's people in a dip for the wrong reasons. Amen. If you disobey, there are consequences. If you're living in rebellion to God, there are consequences. Sometimes we think that's just for little kids. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, we slapping them on the hand. Don't you do that. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Like little kids. God's looking at big people going, no, 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 no. Don't you do that. Don't you say that. Don't you go there. You can't do that. If you do that, you're going to get in timeout. I'm putting you in timeout, and you go sit down there and go, what? Why did my refrigerator break down? Why is my air conditioner not working? Why is my car broke down? No. I told you stop. Amen? You can't live in rebellion and wonder what's going on. It's all through the Bible. David sees Bathsheba in Samuel 11, chapter 11 and 12. I mean, get a Bathsheba. He looks out the window and she's taking a bath. It's Bathsheba. She's out there taking a bath. Instead of going, God, you know, Lord, I saw that, but Lord, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm not looking out that window anymore. Somebody get me a curtain and put up a curtain right there. We're not looking out that window no more. No, instead of that, David's peeping through the window and he's watching. And he's watching. And then sin got into his heart. And it put David into a tailspin of rebellion. It put David into a dip that he didn't deserve to be in. But sin brought the dip. Look at Jonah in the well. God said, Jonah, go that way. Jonah said, nope, going that way. And what happened to Jonah? The dip. The well. You have to be in obedience to God. All through the scripture, we see men of God who didn't do what God said do and paid the consequences for it. Many of you in this room have surrendered your life to Christ before. And you look at your life right now and you say, look at my life. Lord, I'm in rebellion. I'm not attending like I used to attend. I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm not reading my Bible anymore. I'm not praying anymore. And you're wondering why you can't get out of the hole. You can't get out of the hole living in a dip of disobedience. You have to do this. There's only one way to get out of a dip of disobedience. Stop, drop, and repent. Stop, drop, and repent. It's the only way out of a dip of disobedience. Stop your sinning. Repent to God. Cry out to Him. He is still the answer for this world. This recession that we're in. You say, well, look at a big old recession. And what? Stop, drop, and repent, America. Come on. It's the only way out. It's the only way. Number two. The second dip that a person can go into is the dip of ignorance. A dip of ignorance. We're just going to call this the dum-dum dip. The dum-dum dip. I don't know if you can relate, but I've been in some dum-dum dips. We were driving from Pastor's house this morning, and we're driving through Avon. And I looked at my wife, and I said, Bobby, right here where this goes down to 25, when I was a kid, I came through here at 55, and I got a dum-dum ticket right there. The guy pulled me over, and he said, hey, you're going 55 in a 25. Here's your dum-dum ticket. Listen, if you get in your car and drive over the speed limit repeatedly, it isn't going to be long. You're going to get a dum-dum ticket. Come on. And we can't blame God for our dum-dum mistakes. You don't put oil in your car, Brother Tom. Eventually, that car is going to start going tick, 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 and you're going to be calling Tom. Hey, Tom, something's wrong with my car. Don't be blaming the God. Oh, God, the devil done broke down my car. You dumb, put oil in your car. Come on, that's a dumb dip. You know what I'm saying? Your car, you lease a car, and you get ready to turn your car in, and you go in, you find out that car that you've been paying them little bitty payments on, now you have to either buy that car or pay this big, huge payment to turn it in. So you take and say, well, I know I owe this much, the car's worth this much, but they're going to give me this much on a trade-in. I can get a new car, my payment will only be this much, and they'll just add that to the loan of the second car. You are a dum-dum. You're about to go into a dum-dum dip because 4 years later, you've been making them low payments. Now you owe $17,000 on a $2,000 car. That's a dum-dum dip. You can't blame God for all of a sudden, that devil done got me in all this financial trouble. No, you a dum-dum. Come on. That's a dum-dum dip. You don't go into a car lot and buy a car because of the payment. You can't live on credit cards. You keep throwing MasterCard down and Discover down and just smiling. Yeah, we need a new car. We need a new washing machine. Let's just put it on the MasterCard and you can't afford to buy it. I'm sorry. Put your clothes in the bathtub, wash them out, and hang them out on the clothesline. What are you going to do? You can't live on a credit card. That's dum-dum dip. It eventually, it'll catch up to you, and it's going to put you into a dip. People can't give to the kingdom of God because they're living in dum-dum dips. They're so bound up financially, they have no financial freedom, and they're just saying, God, I'm a tither. Why aren't you blessing me? God's blessing you, but you got to get smart. Come on. I just want to help you right now. You, if you're not careful, you end up in a dum-dum dip. Sometimes your spouse can put you into a dum-dum dip. There are other dum-dum, you know, you could be in a car with somebody doing something wrong, and even though you're a mighty man of God, you're riding around with the boys, and they're all smoking reefer, you're about to get a dum-dum dip. You understand? Even though you're not doing anything wrong, well, I just go to the club, I'm not really drinking, and I'm not, it's the wrong atmosphere for the body of Christ. Come on, let's just get real. It's the wrong atmosphere. If you like to dance, go home, put some music on, dance in your house, throw down, have your party, do your thing in your house. But you ain't got no business being up in the club with a bunch of sinners and heathens talking about, I love Jesus. No, you're about to enter a dum-dum dip. Come on. Some things is just common sense. It's just a no-brainer. If you're a man of God, you don't need to be having lunch with some woman from your work. It's innocent. We're just nice. Yes, it is an innocent thing, but it's the wrong atmosphere. And if your wife walked into the room, she'd probably be like, hi, honey, what you doing? Well, it's all good. Yeah, it is good, but that's the wrong atmosphere. You're going to enter a dum-dum dip. When you get home, you might as well get your little blanket and head on out to the doghouse. Might as well get your own frying pan out, throw some butter in there, make a grilled cheese, because you ain't getting no dinner. You just entered into a dum-dum dip. Come on. You can't, listen, when you get in these situations, you can't think your way out, plan your way out. You can't excuse your way out. Well, I had to do it. There's just no, sorry, stop, drop, and repent. Lord, I've made wrong decisions in my finances. I've got myself into this predicament. I bought a house with a balloon payment. Come, dum-dum dip. They're going to charge you this much interest now, and in 3 years, it's going to be this much interest. You can blame the recession all you want to, but maybe that's just not a smart move. It might have looked good back then, but it's, come on. Amen? We got to stop the dum-dum dips. We are victorious people. We got to have the goods, man. We got to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Everywhere we go, people got to see in us the glory of God, that even if it isn't working out right, it's okay because I know I'm doing right and God's going to turn it around. Come on, give God some praise in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now the third kind. And this is where I'm going to spend my time this morning before we close. This is the most important dip. Hard to understand. And many of you in this room are in this place right now. It is called a divine dip. It is a divine dip. It is at the point where you know you're not sinning. You know you've been living right. You know you've been doing everything that God says do. And all of a sudden, the bottom drops out. And you find yourself in a pit. You find yourself in a lion's den. You find yourself in a place where it's like, God, why? Why? I'm doing everything you ask me to do, but here I sit at the bottom of this pit, and I don't understand why. It's a divine dip. There are some situations and some circumstances that God organizes and arranges to allow you to go into a place of solitude, into a place of it's the wilderness experience where you're out there and you've been fasting and you've been praying and you just don't have any answers and you're like, God, what is going on? I want to tell you today, it is a divine dip, and all you can do in a divine dip is say, yes, Lord, I trust you. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I know your word, God. Your word said you would bless me in the city and bless me in the field. Your word said your hand would not be removed from me, Lord. I'm trusting you. There are divine dips. Elijah, the great man of God, my favorite prophet in the Bible. I love reading about Elijah. The first time we read of Elijah is he's prophesying a drought to the nation. It is not going to rain unless it's at my word. And the God tells Elijah, Elijah, you are my man. You spoke what I told you to spoke to Ahab. You said exactly what I wanted you to say. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get and I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And I want you to stay at the brook. And while you're at the brook, I will cause water to feed, to give you water to drink. And I will cause the manna to rain from heaven. I will feed you. I will take care of you. I will supply everything that you need, Elijah. You did just what I told you to do. He gets MapQuest directions. I mean, it's just laid out. This is exactly what you do. And Elijah turns and does exactly what God says do. And he gets there and he's doing everything right. And all of a sudden, what happens? The brook dries up. Are you kidding me? I did exactly what you wanted me to do, God. And now all of a sudden, this? I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. Why? There's that time of questioning why. Pastor Kay, I don't believe there's anybody who loves me more than he loves me, other than my wife. He absolutely loves me. I absolutely love him. When it came time for me to leave this church, I was so comfortable. I was so blessed. I had all of you in my life. I felt like I was I thought I was going to be one of them old men that just sat on the stage in a preacher. This is what I thought. I'm not just making this up. I thought that they would have me a chair right here. And I would be this old man with my glasses on, down on my nose, and I would sit here. This is what I thought God was going to do with me. And I'd have my legs crossed like this. And Pastor would just be preaching away. And then he'd say, Pastor Greg, come up here and pray. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord God. I just pray the paint off the walls. And then go back to my seat and sit back down. I am not lying. We was at Dr. Summerall's church. I'm just a young man in the Lord. I've been serving him for about 5 or 6 years, and he takes me to Dr. Summerall's church. And Dr. Summerall had these four old men sitting on the stage, and I swear, honest to God, I swear they were sleeping. The whole time he was preaching, he'd say, Johnny or whatever his name, Pastor Joe, get up here and pray. And I didn't think the man could walk, make it to the pulpit. He got up there and threw his hands on the pulpit. Ha! Glory to God. He just prayed with fire for about 15 minutes, just went on back and sat down. I looked at Pastor Kate and I said, one day, you watch, I'm going to be that man for you. I got you back, buddy. You go get him. I got you back. That's what I thought I'd do. I had it all laid out. But he kept bumping me. He kept bumping me. Pastor Greg, there's more. There's more. I'm like, Pastor, I'm doing everything you want me to do. I'm calling people. I'm touching people. I'm doing everything you asked me to do. There's more. There's more. He kept bumping me, and he kept saying, I see more in you. There's more in you. There's more in you. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. God's calling you. There's a gift on you. It wasn't there last year. It's there this year. And God's calling you, and there's people waiting on you. You got to go to Florida. You got to go somewhere. You got to go pastor. I don't care where it is, but God's calling. Did he want me to leave? You better believe he did not want me to leave. He loves me. He still loves me. He'd give me the shirt off his back. There isn't anything that man wouldn't do for me. I believe in him. I've watched him. You don't understand. He is a man of integrity. Has he done everything right? No. Has he done things and you go, what in the world? Why is he doing that? Absolutely. But I want to tell you something. After 30 years in this, how many years you been in the city, Pastor? 31st year. There's no headlines, Pastor Kayton having an affair with another woman. Pastor Kayton embezzled money from a church. Pastor Kayton did this. There's no headlines like that. He's a man of integrity. Is he perfect? No. But he's got the heart and the passion of God. And he's a leader. And he was teaching me. And I would love to be in under him. He didn't want me to go, but he knew God was calling me. And he kept bumping me, saying, it's in you. It's in you. He said, there are people waiting on you. They're waiting on you. Joe and Linda, go to my church at Destiny Church in Naples, Florida. Would you give Joe and Linda a big hand? They... 3 weeks ago, Joe came to faith in Christ in our service. I mean, I just seen him just transform. God showed him a whole dimension of God's love that he'd never seen before at Destiny Church because Pastor enabled me by pushing me and encouraging me to go. I was doing everything God said do. 3 weeks ago, he had a stroke. They called me from the hospital and said, you got to pray. His whole count, everything's dropped. His face is dropped. He can't talk. He's got a slurred speech. Everything's going on. And that Sunday morning, I stood up before the people at Destiny Church who were not there 3 years ago. Who two-thirds of those people didn't even know Jesus. There's nearly 300 people that attend Destiny Church already. It's amazing. 80 people saved in the last 3 months. I baptized 50 of them in the Gulf. We're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. We prayed. God healed him. The next day, on Monday morning, he calls me on the cell phone. Pastor, this is Pastor Joe. I'm doing good. I'm out of the hospital. God is the healer. But all that happened as a result of me walking in obedience to God. But something happened in the middle of that walk of obedience. I entered into a divine dip. On October the 13th, after just a short run, my entire body died. There was not a minute. Listen, so for some of you that think you can live in a dip of disobedience and you're going to have time to get right, let me just make it clear. I was running. I got 0.2 miles from my house, and with not a second to grab my heart, oh, what's going on? Nothing. I just died instantly. My heart went into V-fib, sudden death, died on the spot. No time to repent, no time to cry out, no time to ask God to forgive me, to get me right. It was all over right there. If you weren't ready to meet God, you were done. Listen, that still happens. There is an appointed time for man that wants to die. After that, the judgment. Doesn't say there's an appointed time for man wants to die, and maybe I'll give you a little bit of time to repent and get your heart right and get over the dips so that you can get... No. I died. Done. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. Laying on the ground. Blue. Cold. All the life gone. No brain activity. But God. But God. But God. It was a divine dip. I did everything God asked me to do. I did everything my pastor asked me to do. I submitted to the plan and the will of God. And God says, you know what? You're going along just fine, but you need something else in your life. And he allowed me at that moment to enter into a divine dip. And you prayed. People all around this world begin to pray. Never once did my wife or I ever question God. God, why are you doing this? God, why did that happen to me? Why? I don't understand it. I'm at the bottom of this pit, and I don't understand why. Never once. It became all about God. God, I trust you. If he's never healed, if he's never restored, it doesn't matter, my wife said. I trust you, Lord. God, if you don't heal this, you're going to use it. He's either going to heal it or use it, folks. He's either going to heal you or he's going to use you as a testimony. It's a divine dip. Right now, I just want to turn your attention to the video screens, and I want to play just a little bit of the testimony of what God did in my life.
Later identified by his wife as Gregory Glenn Ball. Corkstreet was performing CPR on Mr. Paul. He had his AED out and was attached to patient. Mr. Paul's face and lips were blue and discolored. He had just begun to breathe on his own. I spoke to Mr. Paul's wife, Barbara Paul, who advised me that they were running, and Mr. Paul ran ahead of her and suddenly dropped to the ground. She advised that she knocked on doors to ask for help, and no one answered. Mrs. Paul advised that she observed Corporal Street, the sheriff's vehicle, and his driver. She knocked on his door and informed him of the situation. Corporal Street, who was not on duty, immediately responded to Mr. Paul and found him lying on the ground in front of the above address, unconscious and not breathing, with no pulse. Corporal Streeter advised that he immediately used his AED, which shot Mr. Ball once. Corporal Streeter began CPR and advised that in the middle of the CPR, Mr. Ball began breathing on his own. EMS Medic Unit No. 10 arrived shortly after and transported Mr. Ball to Physicians Regional Medical Center on Pine Ridge Road. No further information at this time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Jim Johnson, where are you at?
Over here.
I don't know why, but yesterday at the pastor's conference, it wouldn't play, and today it wouldn't play. But that testimony that Bobby played in my ear every day was from this great man of God. And he spoke into my life, heal, restore, make new. Heal, restore, make new. The doctor says, Mr. Ball, you did not have a heart attack. We don't understand what's going on. You have 95% blockage in the main artery. When a man has a heart attack in the main artery, the widow maker, they call it, there is less than a 2% chance of survival. With you being unconscious and without air to your brain for between 10 to 15 minutes, there is absolutely 0% chance that you should be living with no brain damage. But God. But for a man of God who would prophesy into my life, heal, restore, make new. When Bobby laid at my feet and she said, Jesus, we need him. Jesus, we need him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she began to pray in faith. Something changed when she got a word. There was a word that came to her in Isaiah, in Psalm 118, verse 17. I will not die, but I will live. And I will declare the works of my God. When that scripture came into her heart, everything changed. When Elijah was at the brook, God said, Elijah, you've commanded to Ahab what I told you to say. You go to the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. When the brook dried up, he said, you go to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow to take care of you. That word I have commanded was, it was exactly the word that he needed to hear, because he knew God had commanded the ravens. I've commanded the ravens. Now I have commanded the widow. Walk in faith. Bobby, there's a picture of Bobby in there, and the little heart opens up, and Bobby's got her Starbucks cup, and she's smiling. I was like, after I came to, I was looking at all them pictures. I scratched my head. I said, Bobby, how can you be smiling? I'm on life support. You just called a doctor, you just called and check on life insurance or something? What's up? You know what it was? That night, she got a word. She got a word. You see, because that process of, Lord, don't take him, don't take him, don't take him. Then it became, God, not my will, but thy will. Lord, if you don't heal him, I trust you. I'm not entering into a dip with any kind of disobedience in my heart or any kind of rebellion. It's, Lord, no matter what, I trust you. And I'm not doing this because I need a miracle. I'm doing this because you are sovereign and you are in control and I trust you. Then that word came. Then that word came. And all of a sudden, everything changed for Bobby. She came alive. She's like, you know what? I don't want to hear it. Don't give me any more bad news. I don't want to hear all your pity stories and nobody patting me and telling me, he's all right. He's going to preach. I came to with a lisp. I don't know what happened. I came to with a lisp and I was slurring my words. And I said, Bobby, what's happening? Did I have a stroke? Did I have a stroke? What's going on? And she smiled. She said, no, you're going to be all right. She said, she walked out of that room and told God, she said, you know what, God? I don't care if he's going to talk with a slur. He's going to preach your gospel with a slur. It's not going to change anything. You are the healer. And God restored everything to me. And that whole divine dip, God turned everything around. He calls me to remember. I begin to remember as a little boy, God using me for healing. My dad's sick on a couch with a fever, come home from work, and he's laying there on his couch. He can't even move. And I walk into the house, and I said, Dad, are you all right? I said, come on, let's go outside. Let's do something. I'm sick, Gregory. sick, buddy. Just can't play. Can't do anything right now. I'm sick. I remember, Rob, I remember going in the house, in the kitchen, and grabbing Crisco oil and pouring it full of oil, pouring my hand full of oil. And I walked up to him on the couch, and I slapped him with that oil, and oil went everywhere on Mom's couch and everywhere. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I went upstairs to change to go out and play. And I hollered downstairs. I said, Dad, you better yet? He said, what? I said, are you better yet? He said, yeah, I'm better. He said he stumbled off the couch and crawled up the stairs. And when he got to the top step, the Holy Ghost power hit him. And every piece of sickness in his body was gone. He was healed. I remember that. I remember signs and wonders happening all through my life. I remember seeing God just bring revival to Fresh Fire Youth Ministry back in the day. I remember praying in rooms where God's glory would just fill the room. I remember about 30 or 40 of us in a room praying on a Friday night. And we were standing on chairs yelling, freedom! Freedom! And all of a sudden somebody said, he's here! He's here! And it was almost like the back doors of building one opened up, and he walked in the room, and everybody just, we could feel his presence, and some of the kids actually seen him as Jesus walked into the room, and we fell and just wept before God. He's here. I remember those miracles. When you're in a divine dip, you have to remember. Remember, God healed you. God's restored you. What God did before, he'll do again. He's not letting you stay at the bottom. God, you might be in the lowest place of your life, but I want you to know something. There is every valley cannot be a valley without a mountain. You have to have a mountaintop experience if there's a valley. And the deeper the valley, the higher the mountain. There's a mountain to climb, church. God is not finished with us yet. God's not done with you yet. God's not going to leave you in lack. He's a God of abundance. Hallelujah. He's able. He is able. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to respond to God's new direction. Elijah got up and he went. He did everything that God said to do. He remembered. He responded. And I'm encouraging you this morning. If you're in a situation where you just don't know why you're there, maybe God's revealing to you this morning, you're in a dip of disobedience. And the only way out is to repent. Maybe you're in a dum-dum dip and you've allowed things to happen in your life. You said, man, I just shouldn't have did that, but now I'm paying for it. Guess what? God's able. Come on. God doesn't see your mistakes. When you repent and give it to the Lord, he said, I'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And maybe you're in a divine dip. And you're in a situation where it just feels like, where in the world, God, where are you? He's here. He's here. Why don't you stand up on your feet with me right now? I got good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first? Huh? Bad news is, you're going through a dip. Good news is, you're going through a dip. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord and worship with me right now. Just worship with me. Hallelujah.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you.
Yesterday, speaking at that pastor's conference, and you know, I've been pastor for 3 years, and I'm like, what am I going to tell all these guys? I got all these men here, pastors from everywhere, and it's 400 people in the room, and I'm thinking, God help me. And I went to our hotel, and I went outside, and I was just sitting there, and I did something I probably hadn't did since I was a new believer in Christ. I sat there with my Bible, Jim, and I went, Oh, God, I'm just going to open this, and I hope it'll just open to something I might be able to use. Honestly, I had prepared for months for this conference and had this whole big message all laid out, and then the night before, God said, Tobias, this don't make no sense. Just sit up here and listen to me. Just let me preach to you for like an hour before we go to bed. I just want to go through my message. She went, it's good. It's good. I woke up that morning and I was like, Lord, that don't make no sense. What am I talking about? What am I going to do? And I just sat down and did one of the things like, I hope it would open up, you know. And it opened up to John chapter 11. And it was the story of Lazarus. And I said, God, why'd you save my life? Why am I here in front of all these pastors? They've seen miracles. They've all been a part of miracles. They're all believers. Why'd you save my life? For 9 months, I've asked God, why me? Why am I alive? And people are coming up to me, and wives are coming up. My husband died from a heart attack in the Widowmaker. And I lost this person, and my uncle died. And I've heard story after story. And I would leave, but oh, it's okay. And walk away, go, God, why? And the Lord showed me that when Lazarus was in that tomb, and we all know the story, Jesus said, Lazarus, come. And he called him. He said, you came out of that grave because I called you. I called you. I called your name and said, no, Joe, you're not dying from a stroke. No, I called you. You come out of that grave. You come out of that grave. You're not dying. You're going to live. God says, you know what? You're in a dip, but I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And it's time to stop, drop, and repent because I am Jehovah God. I am the healer. I am the deliverer. And there is nothing that I can't do with you. Hallelujah. He's calling you this morning. Maybe you're away from God, and maybe you just know, I'm not living right, and I need to repent. And that's the first call this morning. Where are you with God? If he were to come right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven, or have you been living in rebellion, hoping that you'll get right later? It doesn't work. This is later. Now. This is later. This is it. There's no later later. This is later. This is that moment when God comes into a room and he says, I'm calling you out. I'm calling your name, son, daughter. I'm calling your name. No more. Devil's had you long enough. You've been bound long enough. It's time to get in freedom. And if that's you and you're in this room this morning, I have the faith to believe God that you can walk in victory. If you're in a dip of disobedience, your heart's not right with God. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. Only repentance, and that comes through Christ right now. And I'm going to ask you right now, just by the grace of God speaking to your heart, respond to the Holy Spirit. If you're not living right, if you were to die today and you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, I'm going to ask you by faith to say, God, it's time. I'm ready to surrender my life to you, and I need God. I need to need God. I don't have any answers. I just need God. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up to the Lord. It's time to return back to God. It's time to return back to God. One, two. Church, pray your guts out right now. Just pray your guts out right now that God will deal with somebody's heart. One, two, three. Just shoot your hand up to the Lord right now. Hands are going up all over this room. Don't wait on nobody. Just run to this altar. I'm telling you, don't be ashamed of nothing. Run to this altar. Say, God, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I am tired. I'm not doing this anymore. You've called me, Lord, and I'm coming to repent. Nancy, God called you. God called you today. Hallelujah. Nancy lives in Lorraine. This is her first time being at church on the North Coast. And she saw my story on Facebook, and she said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go hear this man that I've been reading about. And my brother called me and said, she's ready for God. She's ready for God. She's coming. And I'm just so glad you responded. Amen. Amen. Just bow before the Lord right there. Bow before the Lord right there. You ever just sit in church when you're not right and you feel like your hands are sweating? It's like hot, like, oh, God, you know, I don't want to go. I'm not going to go up there. I don't want to go up there. If that's you, what are you waiting on? Just get to this altar. Come on. If that's you, it's all about Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. If that's you, why would you wait any longer? Just step out of your seat and say, God, I'm coming to repent. I'm coming to repent. Some of you have been saved a long time, but you're living in rebellion, and you just need to stop right now and say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm rededicating. I'm turning it all around. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Sing it, Ashley. Sing it. Sing this song. Sing this song.
I believe you're my healer, and I believe you are all I need. You're all I need, Lord, yeah. And I believe you're
said, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, you can be saved. Like what he means by saved is you can come into a place where your sins are forgiven and you walk in a new life. That doesn't mean that when you go out, the same old devil isn't out there trying to get you to mess up and to do the wrong thing. It means you walk into a new level of relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's calling you. Some of you, you've done this before. Some of you, maybe this will be the first time. Here's what it says. Therefore, if any man, that's man or woman, if any man or woman be in Christ, it's not a religious experience, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. And all things become new. It's just like you like a big curtain. You just rip it and you walk through and you go, I'm on this side of everything now. And the devil's still going to fight you and he's going to, you've got to get around Christian people. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Come on. You've got to get around godly people. You've got to be in an atmosphere where the word is being preached uncompromised. You don't need a cute 3-point message. You need to get in the atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is moving, where the fire of God is being poured out. We don't have much time. We can't play around with this anymore. You got to go home like I did with 8-track tapes, bust up anything, throw away anything, just let God reveal everything to you that doesn't please him and say, God, I'm surrendering all and I'm selling out radical to live for you. I want you to pray this with me, but I want you to tell you, this is the place you're going to feel like a real warm presence of God that's going to come over you. You got to pray this prayer. But this is not, this is the beginning. Listen, I give altar calls every week at church. And I see people every day walk forward and say, this is it, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And you don't see them for 2 or 3 weeks. Some of them you never see again. That ought not be. There's got to come inside of you a hunger to know more about Jesus. You think, Lonzo, you've been with me how many years? You've been with me since you was a little bitty boy. You've got to know more about Jesus. You cannot walk out and say, okay, that was good. I'm ready. I'm going to heaven. Yes, you're on your way to heaven, but there's a process. Learn about God's word. Learn about who he is and who he wants to be for you. He's drawing you, calling you, and now he wants to use you. God takes what he's given. You're giving him your life. He cleans what he takes. Then he anoints what he cleans. Then he uses what he anoints. You have been brought into the kingdom of God on purpose. He wants to use you for his glory. Amen? I want you to pray this with me. And it's going to be words. And it'll only be words unless it comes from here. But it's a time of surrender to the Lord. It has to come from here. And I want you just to lift your head, because you don't have to have your head down anymore. I want you to look to God. And I want you to picture just heaven, just leaned over the rails of heaven and listening to your words. Because we're speaking directly to God, directly to Jehovah God. We're praying directly to God. And I want you to pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, lift it up. You're looking right at God. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you called me today. And by faith, I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. I make a decision to follow you, and I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I am a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, Satan is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. Amen. 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 Who do we have? Okay, where's the prayer team?
All the altar ministers, if you just come. If we can get all the altar ministers to come now, grab somebody.
Hey, these are just men and women of God that are going to pray with you a little bit, okay? And give you some information. If you could take them to the side right there. Just take them right up there in the light. Everybody just go to the light. Run to the light. Run to the light. Amen. 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 Come on, give him praise. Amen. Listen, I on purpose did not, I asked Pastor, I don't want to go to the Beachwood Church. I want to stay as long as I possibly can with every one of you. Here's the thing. If you're in a dip, I don't know how it happened. I didn't ask for it. God sovereignly has given me a real gift of faith. If God can raise you from the dead, he can do anything. When you look at that, when I look at those pictures, I see them different than you do. I'm looking at that picture going, oh my, 9 months ago, Darlene. 5 days after it happened, I was on the golf course. After being a lifeguard, I know God can do anything. If you're in a dip, what else you got to do today? You're going to run to the restaurant and eat and all that stuff. I know. If you're, just wait for a minute. If you're in a dip of any kind, if it's a dumb dip, or if it's in a divine dip, would you just take a minute and come to this altar and stop everything and just repent to the Lord? Come on, just ask God to reveal and remind you and just to touch. If you're in a dip, just come right now. And I'm just going to come around and just lay hands on you and just pray. Just come kneel at the altar and just come pray and say, Lord, nothing is impossible. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Just tarry in his presence this morning and allow his divine presence to touch you. Yes, Lord.
Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible.
I just want to say this. I just feel the presence of the Lord. Let me just set this up. So Lazarus is 4 days dead. He's in eternity. He's playing basketball with Moses. All right, seriously, like, he's gone. He's not here anymore. He's gone. Lazarus is dead. He's gone. He's went on to heaven. He's 4 days gone from the earth. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he hears this thunderous voice say, "Lazarus!" And he stops. I can just see him stopping in heaven. Just the ball hits the ground. He looks around. And suddenly he realizes whose voice it is that's calling him. Suddenly he realizes it's Jesus that's calling him. And church, I don't know if you realize it today, but Jesus is calling you. Have you ever heard him call you? And if you've not heard it, he's calling you today. And Lazarus stood to attention. And I believe the tears began to run down his face. And I believe he looked at his fellows and he said, "This is great. I love being here in heaven. I love this. But look, the one who holds my life in his hand is calling me. And there's more I got to do. So I got to go, guys. I'll see you later. I got to go back because there's more to do." And he makes his way back down to that cave. And suddenly he wakes up and he's down back on the earth. And he's looking at the hole and the light's coming in. And he's looking at the face of Jesus. And he says, "Oh my gosh, it's Jesus." And he heard his voice. You know why he answered? Because he heard the voice of his Savior calling him. And church, there's more. Many of you that are here today, you've thrown your life. You're not dead, but you're dead. You're dead on the inside. You're already buried. You threw your purpose away. You threw your destiny away. And you're laying in a cave. You're laying in a tomb. What you need to hear is Jesus calling you today. He's calling you by name. And he's saying, "Come on. Come on, there's more. There's more. There's more for your life." He has an assignment. He has a destiny. And if you feel the call of Jesus, don't just stand there. Come. Come. As we close here today, they're going to receive the tithe and offering on the way out. If everyone tithes, we'll take care of everything. We've already taken care of Pastor Greg. If you need prayer today, if you feel the call of destiny on your life, it's right here. You're going to receive an impartation. If you need prayer today, just come. Jesus is calling you. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. The altars are completely wide open to you, church.